Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this was supposed to be the Divine Will ebook series until a few hours ago. a little whisper in my ear after returning from Mass this morning. It's Our Lady's birthday. And we're always looking for an excuse to venerate and to honor a lady. And when we cannot miss this opportunity. So we're going to preempt ourselves. We're going to preempt the ebook series, and we're going to have a tribute to Our Lady. And thank God Maureen is here, because you're going to have an eloquent speaker speaking as opposed to me. But what I thought we would do is, I think this will be really neat. What do you do at birthday parties? Well, you have fun, number one. You honor the celebrant. I mean, we're done honoring ourselves. Let's honor something really worthy. That's Our Lady. So I thought the best way to pray, to open with prayer, to have a supplication, would be to sing to Our Lady. So I'm going to, at this time, ask everyone to unmute themselves, and please don't be bashful. Nobody can sing worse than I do, and if I can do it, we can all do it. Trust me on that. I'll give everyone a moment to unmute themselves. And then I'll kick it off, and I think Maureen's going to take it from there. we'll just do the best we can, and let's have some fun in honor of Our Lady. So I think everyone's unmuted right now, so I guess I'll kick it off.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Mother. Happy birthday,
blessed Mother.
Happy birthday,
blessed
Mother.
Yay, Mother.
Yay.
Wow. Now, somebody told me when you sing the prayer, it's like praying twice. I don't know if somebody made that up or if that's
true. No, that's true. St. Augustine. That's what I heard. I could be wrong, but that's what I heard.
Could be. Could be. Wow. So what a great day to be together today on this lovely birthday of Our Lady. So we have a lot to cover. I don't know if we're going to get through it all, but we're going to admonish, and we're going to listen to and adhere to what Saint Hannibal explains to us. And he explained to Luis, and he explains to us, that he read no more than two or three passages a day. He didn't want to read what he couldn't comprehend to the best of his ability and what he couldn't ponder completely. So he limited himself to two passages, sometimes three if they were short. So that's, again, I think the guidance there is, and Jesus speaks about this also, the divine will is quality over quantity. We talked about this. This is like the hugest arena in the world. We all have a seat. We've been called. It doesn't matter what entrance we go in, whether it be the left wing, the right wing, the center, you know, gate number 325. It doesn't matter where we get in. Yeah, we may go in the wrong exit and have to walk a little bit further than we ought to if we knew where to go, but it's okay as long as we get in. That's exactly what we're going to do today, hopefully, with this. So I'm going to read the top part here, then I'll turn over to Maureen. So basically, September 8th, the feast of the birth of our Blessed Virgin Mary. We just so eloquently, or not eloquently, sang happy birthday to her. I think it was good. I think it was actually very good. About 15 BC was the nativity of our Blessed Virgin Mother. So happy birthday to Blessed Mother. Also on this day in 1889, the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, received the gift of the divine will completely in perpetuity. Mystical marriage renewed in paradise. Jesus presents Luisa the ring with three precious stones, white, red, and green. So let me bring out the pointer. Enough of my voice, and we're going to have Maureen.
Okay. From the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, by servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, the little daughter of the Divine Will. Day 10. The Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. The dawn that rises to put to light the night of the human will. Her glorious birth. The soul to the Queen of Heaven. Here I am, O Holy Mama, near your cradle, to be spectator of your prodigious birth. The heavens are stupefied. The sun is fixed upon you with its light. The earth exults with joy and feels honored to be inhabited by its little newborn queen. And the angels compete among themselves to be around your cradle, to honor you, and to be ready for your every wish. Everyone honors you and wants to celebrate your birth. I, too, unite myself with all and prostrate before your cradle, where I see, as though enraptured, your mother Anne and your father Joachim. I want to tell you my first word. I want to entrust to you my first secret. I want to empty my heart into yours and say to you, my mama, you are the dawn, herald of the divine fiat upon the earth. Oh, please, put to flight the gloomy night of the human will within my soul and in the whole world. Ah, yes, may your birth be our hope, which, like a new dawn of grace, regenerates us in the kingdom of the divine will.
How about that? That's incredible. And I have highlighted in red, Maureen, and mm-hmm. everyone, I want to entrust to you my first secret. Again, we talk about this almost every week, almost a nauseum, but we don't get nauseous. At least I don't. I hope you don't. God is revealing secrets. Our Lady's revealing secrets. But, you know, these secrets, Mary's not revealing any new secrets. Okay, she's bringing to light what Jesus has said, what Jesus is inferring, and what Jesus has in store for us. So she's not making up these things, and she's not been given secrets separate from our Lord. No, again, she's bringing us closer to our blessed Lord. Again, just like at Cana, do what he says, do as he tells you. Those are the greatest words. She even says it in the Virgin Mary of the King. She says, those are the greatest words I could have said. Do whatever he tells you. And what is God telling us here? He's telling us that this is the greatest gift. This is the greatest apostolate. There's nothing, I'm paraphrasing, there's nothing that can compete to this. No other sanctity, no other work, no other mission, no other apostolate, nothing else we do, no matter how well we do it and how many things we're doing, nothing can surpass this. Jesus says, everything that he's given, the church, the sacraments, the Eucharist, everything has been a seed, a means in which to bring us all back to the gift of living in the divine will. I think that's volume 14. I still don't have my notes in front of me. I'm going off the top of my head. It's still a mess here. But anyway, we're getting there slowly but surely. So that's incredible, Maureen. Mm-hmm. I mean, just we're going back. And he's got everything here. And he's entrusted his mother to mark her children because her children are his children. I mean, one and the same. I think Father Celso says as well, whenever we say Jesus, we are saying really Jesus and Mary. Whenever we say Mary, we're saying Mary and Jesus. It's just, they're always together. Everything that Jesus did, Mary experienced. And that's why she's co-redemptrix. And the church will be able to explain that one day, I'm sure. Maybe the divine will be the conduit in which to do that. I'm really thinking that may be the case. But yeah, I want to entrust you my first secret. Remember, we also know I don't remember what it is, but I think it's Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, meditation number 6, where she talks about a secret. I have to paraphrase. A secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding. So, wow, it's not bad. It's not nefarious. It's not something being with it. It's actually, she's divulging these secrets, these truths, because she and our blessed Lord believe we're ready to receive them. Mm-hmm. Remember, Jesus says, I'm not going to give you pearls and swine. I'm not going to give you these treasures if you're not going to be treasuring it. You know, wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart. So that's what is so incredible. If Our Lady is saying, now is the time I'm divulging these secrets because we believe we are irresistibly poised to receive them. That's incredible. That's really a humble compliment.
You know, Peter, I think about, I've said this before, I know, but when I learn the divine will, I think about the New Testament and I compare things. And, you know, when Jesus had those 5,000 in the fields, and they traveled, a lot of them traveled from far, and they didn't have any food. And Jesus was sick at heart because in the apostles, because they had no food. And so they looked out over this crowd of 5,000 men. There was probably more women and children. And they were hungry for the word, and they were predisposed. They had the opening inside them to receive the word. And so I think of us as those people. Like in the kingdom of the redemption, it was the parables that people just waited to hear. And then there were people that just walked away. Said, this doesn't make sense. So the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the proud people, they didn't want to hear the parables or the word, or they didn't want to say, eat my body, drink my blood, or hear it. And I picture the people who are living or trying to live and read the volumes. I picture us as those crowd of 5,000 hanging on the word of Jesus and hanging on the words of the volumes and listening and being disposed. And I think it's important that we pray, that we continually be disposed, that the Lord open us up to take these truths and be able to listen to them and digest them, like the 5,000. And then Jesus fed them with the fish and the you know, it's just, that's how I think of us, as those people, hopefully hungry to hear what he has to say. Because for those people, I mean, he was saying things to them that was unusual, that they hadn't heard before, because they were used to all the laws of the Old Testament. They weren't used to what Jesus was saying. And so that can be us now. We're not used to these words are different for us. And so we have to pray that we have a hunger for these words. And even if we don't trust, we don't understand them, we trust that this is Jesus and he's taken us to a new dimension. And it becomes exciting.
That's right. That's right. He fed them spiritually first with spiritual food, and then he fed them with physical food. Yeah. And you know, there were non-Jews there also, so this was a very ecumenical moment. And speaking about ecumenical, that's another thing that I'm going to read from just really quickly, how Catholics pray to Mary, and this is from the Knights of Columbus. This has the imprimatur in the Hallabstadt. And when it comes to ecumenism. Humanism. Okay. To be ecumenical, how's that?
That's good.
It says, Mary is an ecumenical message, a message of unity and peace. One of the most frequent and passionate themes of Marian apparitions is her desire for peace, for it is one of today's most obvious needs, both within the church and within the world. But how can Mary be an agent for ecumenical unity? Protestants see Mary as a major obstacle to unity in the church, since they object to the Catholic Church's Marian teachings. So I can go on and on another. So good point there. But again, it's really, that's why the divine will is for everyone. And for those Gentiles that were in the audience with Jesus, when they heard this message, again, going out, like to your point, going out the confines of the Jewish teaching, something new, extraordinary by Christ, their hearts were opened.
Yeah.
And I think some Jews were opened, and some Jews maybe had some resentment. I know there were some clashes when they were in Greece and things of that nature. But again, he started that, and I think he's continuing and finishing it now with the divine will. This is open for everyone. But this is not written anywhere, but I kind of think that for somebody to really embrace the divine will, they're going to have to embrace Our Lady. There's no way. You can't push Our Lady out of this.
Yeah,
I mean, you just can't do it. You just can't do it. So it's either, I think it has to be one of them. And maybe it's a great design also by God. Here's my mother. You know, 3/4 of the world does not accept her as we do and as our Lord does, our son. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm giving you the greatest gift in the world, but you got to accept my mother. That's almost like a bribery extortion. But it's beautiful. I mean, in a good way. It's like, you must love my mother. So I like that.
That's right.
Okay, so here's the lesson of the newborn queen. This is great, if we can, Maury.
Child of my heart, my birth was prodigious. No other birth can be said to be similar to mine. I enclosed in myself the heaven, the sun of the divine will, and also the earth of my humanity, a blessed and holy earth, which enclosed the most beautiful flowerings. And even though I was just newly born, I enclosed the prodigy of the greatest prodigies, the divine will reigning in me, which enclosed within me a heaven more beautiful, a sun more refulgent than those of creation, of which I was also queen, as well as the sea of graces without boundaries, which constantly murmured, love, love to my creator. My birth was the true dawn that puts to flight the night of the human will. And as I kept growing, I formed the daybreak and called for the brightest daylight to make the sun of the eternal word rise over the earth. My child, come to my cradle to listen to your mama. As soon as I was born, I opened my eyes to see this low world, to go in search of all my children so as to enclose them within my heart. Give them my maternal love and regenerating them to the new life of love and of grace. Give them the step which would let them enter into the kingdom of the divine fiat which I possessed. I wanted to act as queen and mother, enclosing everyone in my heart to bring everyone to safety and to give them the great gift of the divine kingdom. In my heart, I had a place for everyone, because for one who possesses the divine will, there are no constraints, only infinite expanses. I looked also at you, my child. No one escaped me. And since on that day, everyone celebrated my birth, it was also feast for me. But upon opening my eyes to the light, I had the sorrow of seeing the creatures in the thick night of the human will. Oh, what an abyss of darkness envelops the creature who lets herself be dominated by her will. It is the true night, but a night with no stars, with, at most, a few fleeting lightnings. Lightnings easily followed by thunders, which, in roaring, thicken the darkness even more and unload the storm over the poor creature. Storms of fear, of weakness, of danger, of falling into evil. My poor heart was pierced in seeing my children in this horrible storm in which the night of the human will had overwhelmed them. Now listen to your little mama. I am still in the cradle. I am little. Look at the tears I shed for you. Every time you do your will, it is a night that you form for yourself. And if you knew how much this night harms you, you would cry with me. It makes you lose the light of the day of the holy will. It turns you upside down. It paralyzes you to good. It breaks true love in you, and you remain like a poor ill one who lacks the necessary things to be healed. Ah, my child, dear child, listen to me. Never do your will. Give me your word that you will make your little mama content.
Wow. One thing that comes to mind, that everything that Our Lady just explained to us, I think is included in that explication that we talk about, and Father Anuzzi talks about, Article 66 of our Catechism. Although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for those that have already been given to us to be better understood over the course of time. End quote. So here Our Lady is explaining the thoughts, the actions, the intentions in her cradle. Those that were around her saw her in her cradle. Did they know what she was thinking? Maybe some did, but I have to think the majority did not. So how valuable, again, is the divine will? How it explicates everything given to us, scripture, the deposit of faith, everything, every event that has taken place in the history, of all of God, is being explained further, more completely, more understandably, in this time, the time that we're alive. That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm always amazed at the patience of Jesus and Mary. They're trying to get through to us, and we're still in the low world. And so that's where we have to trust in their words, even if we don't understand them. They're trying to explain to us the evil of the human will. And I don't know if at first we can comprehend that. And so it doesn't mean we say, well, we don't get this, but we just go with it because we're little children and we don't know anything. And so we just trust in all their words, the evil of the human will and the glories of the divine will. I mean, how long is it going to take us to really truly understand the glories of the divine will? Some of us, it's going to take a while. Some of us will learn right away and get it. But until we really understand it, that's why trust is so important, to trust in their every word and just do what they say. And then we'll get our aha moments and we'll get it. But until then, you trust your mother and you trust God and let them lead you. Don't count on your human understanding.
Well, you know, Marina, I think we touched on that a program or two ago, and we were saying, like how many conferences, how many Divine Will Day of Recollections, how many cenacles, how many and how much of this grace do we need before we turn the corner, before we say, okay, I'm convinced, I'm in, basically? How long is it going to take? And if we're not there yet, maybe we should just examine what is in front of us. And that's why I think Jesus gives us those beautiful words about placing everything on hold, except, not our responsibilities, but placing even holy things on hold to embrace this, to understand this. Because if we're in the middle of doing 10 other things, ministries, and we're trying to squeeze this in here and there, we're not going to get it. He says, well, if you're not going to give the time to me, how can I give you the full explanation of what I'm doing here? So he says, place that on hold. Engulf yourself in this. Allow me to raise the bar to take you to another level, another dimension, like you mentioned. And then go back to doing what you're doing. We don't have to do anything special, anything different, but God is going to make it different. He's going to demonize the act. We can't do that. So I think that's really important. How many is it good? And when you talk about the will, when Father Brown was here at Mary's Hill, I don't know if he wrote this or if he's just repeating something, but this was what he said about the will. I think it's just very important. He said, quote, unless we understand the insidious nature of the opponent, which is the human will, there is no hope of escape.
Mm-hmm.
The opponent comes dressed in the clothes of a friend, than the uniform of a guard, and then betrays us endlessly to our captors. Even worse, the human will convinces us that he is us.
Mm-hmm.
We call life is a vast case of mistaken identity. And until we distinguish our identity from the opponent, we will remain imprisoned. End quote. I love that.
Yeah. We're our own enemy.
Absolutely.
The enemy is not the people out there. It's us. It's our will. It's our human will.
I can't get out of my own way. You ready to hear what the soul has to say?
Mm-hmm. Oh, are we going to day 11? Oh, no, the soul. Okay. Got it. I'm sorry. I lost my place.
That's all right.
Little holy mama, I feel trembling in hearing of the ugly night of my will. Therefore, I am here at your cradle to ask of you the grace that, by your prodigious birth, you make me be reborn in the divine will. I will be always near you, celestial little baby. I will unite my prayers and my tears to yours to impetrate for myself and for all the kingdom of the divine will upon earth.
So here, this is important. Louisa says, therefore, I am here at your cradle to ask of you. Remember, we have to ask. We have to ask Jesus. We have to ask Mary of our needs, what we want. To ask you the grace that by your prodigious birth, you make me reborn in the divine will. Jesus says we must be born again. So to be born in the divine will, and once we do that, well, now quantum physics takes place, and we're being reborn in every moment, in every instant, because that's how God, so God, like, sort of, if we, if God was a computer, he's constantly refreshing his screen, and that's exactly what's happening. So another thing too, our Protestant brothers and sisters, that they got part of, but they didn't get the complete truth on. To be born again, yes, we must be, but that's a continuous operation. It's not just a one-time deal, like many of our Christian brothers and sisters think. But so we can do the same thing. Our Lady, we're here at your cradle to ask you the grace. You are the distributor of grace. God says he's given you the grace. Mark your children. Give it the grace to your children. Your birth was for us, all of humanity, for all of mankind, for the whole world, for the whole universe, for everything. Our Lady's special. And that's why we take time on her birthday. Little sacrifice, Maureen.
Okay. Today, to honor me, you will come three times to visit me in my cradle, saying to me each time, celestial little baby, make me be reborn together with you in the life of the divine will.
That's something to remember. Maybe what I'll do is when I send the email out to notify everyone of the upload of the program, maybe I'll send this document also, that we can keep it if you want to, if you can print it out and you can reread it. I know I want to reread it. Again, all this just came about this afternoon, so I really didn't have a lot of time to digest most of this, but I want to. Okay.
Ejaculatory prayer. My little mama, make the dawn of the divine will rise within my soul.
Another one of those.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Supplications.
I remember these. Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm going to send it out. I don't remember it. So if I don't remember it, I don't think everyone's going to remember it. I mean, some may remember it. Well, not bad time wise. We got through day 10 and the blah, blah in the beginning by me. I'm ready to go day 11. I think we can finish this. Maureen, how are you? Are you hard break at quarter?
No. I can go. Yeah, I can go.
Okay, great. Okay, let's go to day 11 again on Our Lady's birthday. Happy birthday, Blessed Mother. We love you.
The Queen of Heaven in the kingdom of the divine will, in the first years of her life here, forms a most refulgent daybreak to make the longed-for day of light and of grace rise within the hearts. The soul to the little baby queen. Here I am again near your cradle, little celestial mama. My little heart feels charmed by your beauty, and I cannot remove my gaze from a beauty so rare. How sweet is your gaze! The motion of your little hands calls me to embrace you and to cling to your heart, which is drowned in love. Little holy mama, give me your flames, that they may burn away my human will, and so that I may make you content, living of divine will together with you.
Notice almost the constant use of flames, and the flames to burn away the human will. I have to believe, too, that's the purpose of the flame of love, which is the love of Christ, the love of Jesus, to burn away that human will, to open the door for the divine will. Because remember, all roads, no matter what road you're on, all roads lead to the divine will. Jesus says that. That's not me. He says everything I did in all of history has had as its primary purpose for us to go back to the order, the place, the purpose. That means everything. All vocations, all third orders, everything has been with the purpose, Jesus states, to bring us back to the beginning. That's incredible. And here we are. This is the cherry on top of the beautiful Sunday. There could be nothing greater. And that's why I love the words. I mean, we always say that this is the greatest gift that God has given to mankind. It is. But Father Anisi took that to another level, and really important. He says, this gift of living the divine will is the greatest gift that God has given to mankind. And more importantly, it's the greatest gift that he can give to mankind, because he's giving all of himself. There's nothing greater than that. So there's nothing, there's no more chasing butterflies. This is it. There's not, no matter what we do, what we ask for, what we pray for, there's nothing that is greater than what has already been given to us. And we just need to claim it. Remember Jesus, I forget the volume, I don't have it in front of me, but he says that gifts are only complete gifts once they're confirmed, once we respond to them. So if we don't respond to the gift, it goes into that sort of quasi limbo, you know, halfway between heaven and earth. It goes into that, we made the joke, that big pinata. It has to be responded to. And it could be responded to with gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for that. I don't know what to do with it right now, but hopefully you'll guide me and I'll be able. But there needs to be an end to that. The grace is given. The response must be. And this is Jesus' words. So think about all the grace and graces that have been given that have not been responded to, that's just waiting to just shower all of us. And that's where it is. I mean, again, it's that big pinata, and God is handing us all baseball bats. Let's just open it up and get all the candy. This is going to be an explosion. I think Father Celso talks about this too. There's going to be an explosion of grace and graces beyond our comprehension because of what has not been fully used. So again, when we receive grace, which is all the time, we must respond to it. Otherwise, it's not a complete, the grace is not completed. And therefore, Jesus does not have his full satisfaction in what he's given us, because he's giving it to us so that we may draw closer to him. Ready for the lesson of the Queen of Heaven, Maureen?
Mm-hmm. Okay, lesson of the Queen of Heaven. My child, if you knew how my maternal little heart rejoices in seeing you close to my cradle to listen to me. I feel, in fact, Queen and Mother, because in having you near me, I am not a sterile mother or a queen without people, but I have my dear child who loves me very much and who wants me to do for her my office of mother and queen. Therefore, you are bearer of joy to your mama. More so, since you come onto my lap to be taught by me how to live in the kingdom of the divine will. To have a child who wants to live with me in this kingdom so holy is the greatest joy, honor, and feast for your mama. Therefore, pay attention to me, my dear child, and I will continue to narrate to you the wonders of my birth. My cradle was surrounded by angels who competed among themselves to sing me lullabies as to their sovereign queen. And since I was endowed with reason and science, which had been infused in me by my Creator, I fulfilled my first duty to adore the most holy, adorable Trinity with my intelligence and also with my babbling voice of a child. And the ardor of my love for a majesty so holy was so great that, languishing, I felt delirious with the desire of being in the arms of the divinity, to receive their embraces, and to give them my own. And the angels, for whom my desires were commands, picked me up, and carrying me on their wings, brought me into the loving arms of my celestial Father. Oh, with how much love the divine persons awaited me! I was coming from the exile, and the brief pauses of separation between me and them were the cause of new fires of love. They were new gifts that they prepared for me, while I would find new devices to ask for pity and mercy for my children, who living in exile were under the lashes of divine justice. And dissolving all of myself in love, I said to them, Adorable Trinity, I feel happy. I feel a queen. Nor do I know what unhappiness and slavery is. On the contrary, because of your will reigning in me, the joys and happinesses are so great and so many that, little as I am, I cannot embrace them all. But in so much happiness, there is a vein of intense bitterness in my little heart. I feel in it my unhappy children, slave to their own rebellious will. Have pity, Holy Father, have pity. Oh, please, make my happiness whole. Make happy these unhappy children, whom I carry more than mother within my maternal heart. Let the divine word descend upon the earth, and everything will be granted. I will not come down off your paternal knees if you do not give me the deed of grace, that I may bring to my children the good news of their redemption. The divinity was moved at my prayers, and filling me with new gifts, said to me, "Return to the exile and continue your prayers. Extend the kingdom of our will in all of your acts, and at the appropriate time, we will make you content." But they did not tell me either when or where he would descend. So I departed from heaven only to do the divine will. This was the most heroic sacrifice for me, but I did it gladly, so that the divine will alone might have dominion over me. Now, listen to me, my child. How much did your soul cost me, to the point of embittering the immense sea of my joys and happinesses? Every time you do your will, you render yourself a slave, and you feel your unhappiness. And I, being your mama, feel the unhappiness of my child within my heart. Oh, how sorrowful it is to have unhappy children. How you should take to heart doing the divine will in seeing that I reached the point of departing from heaven so that my will might have no life in me. Now, my child, continue to listen to me. In each one of your acts, may your first duty be to adore your Creator, to know Him, and to love Him. This places you in the order of creation, and you come to recognize the One who created you. This is the holiest duty of each creature, to recognize her origin. Now you must know that bringing myself to heaven, my descending, my praying form the daybreak around me, which, spreading through the whole world, surrounded the hearts of my children, so that the daybreak might follow the dawn to make arise the serene day of expectation for the divine word upon earth.
What a mother we have.
Oh my gosh.
What an absolute mother we have.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, there's no way we can even come close to grasping what you just read, Maureen, because it's just too much. And that's why I think it's going to be so important when we find the time, not if, but when we find the time to reread this and
again.
Ponder this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when Our Lady is known, the whole world will not be able to not love her for what she's done and for what she's continuing to do. And remember what Jesus said also in that a couple programs ago, Maureen, he was talking about woe to the sinful world, but even woe to, more importantly, those sinful leaders. I forget what he called them. He didn't call them vipers. He called them something else about those leaders that are intentionally trying to lead souls to slaughter. And that's exactly what's happening in our modern era, in modern day. Actually, it's been happening for quite a while. I think it's just coming to light now. So important that we take Our Lady's hand so that she may deliver us to our Blessed Lord. That's for sure. Wow. Any comment? I mean, there's so much there. Any comments?
No. I'm just moved. That's all I can say.
It really is incredible. Okay, so I think we can finish. Speechless. So we can go to the soul now, please.
Okay, the soul. Little celestial mama, in seeing you, just newly born, giving me lessons so holy, I feel enraptured, and I understand how much you love me, to the point of becoming unhappy because of me. Oh, please, holy mama, you who love me so much, let the power, the love, and the joys which inundate you descend into my heart, so that being filled with them, my will may find no room to live in me, and may freely give up its place to the dominion of the divine will.
Another great supplication that we can repeat to our celestial mother. Maureen, we can emulate and we can articulate and we can repeat what Louisa said to our Blessed Lady. But I think Our Lady is like, is the kind of mother that no matter how we ask for it, no matter how we convey our love to her, no matter what words we use or don't use, it's all going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we have to worry. Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about you know how sophisticatedly we do this and how we sound, you know, doing it. Just like our Lord too, in the monstrance. So we have nothing to say. Thank you. I love you. Mm-hmm. And meaning that, I mean, what can be a stronger conveyance of how we feel than those couple words? And then we can recite things, and that's good. But our Lord and our Lady, they want to hear. They want to listen to what's being said from our heart, from our soul.
Yeah,
right. I just think it's beautiful. Yeah. Okay, a little sacrifice.
Little sacrifice today to honor me. You will do three acts of adoration to your Creator, reciting three glory bees to thank Him for the many times I received the grace to be admitted to their presence. Ejaculatory prayer. Celestial Mama, let the daybreak of the divine will rise within my soul. Amen.
That's a good one.
That's great. I think this is a great idea.
No, there's just so much here. It's all here. It's so, when we speak about Our Lady, it's so easy. And again, we just have to listen to her. And that was the big thing also. At Cana, that's why it's so important at Cana. I mean, there were so many lessons to be learned at Cana. And besides our Lord sanctifying marriage and beginning his ministry. But Our Lady in her docility could not refrain from being a mother. And I think that's the, I think we saw the humanity and the charisms that Our Lady possesses. No wonder that the Holy Trinity cannot deny her of anything mm-hmm. that she asks. So it's all great. It's all great. And again, so we say a beloved, blessed, happy birthday to our Blessed Mother Mary. And may we have the power to remember to always go to your lap, to sit on your lap, and to confide in you and to trust you that you are going to bring us directly to the bosom of your Son, our Blessed Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just a quick reminder, Father Celso makes a comeback tomorrow. He's going to be having a Divine World Day of Recollection. A full day tomorrow. The Rosary and the Divine Will and Adoration begins at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Father's first talk will be at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, and he'll give a series of five talks, five 45-minute talks with a 15-minute break. So it'll go from about 9 a.m. till about 3 p.m. in the afternoon tomorrow, Saturday. Again, beginning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, first talk, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. So that's pretty much all day tomorrow. And on Sunday, we're blessed to have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live from Italy. And that won't be for very much longer. We have a date. I'm going to be sending out an announcement either today or tomorrow. But the first group of sisters, including Mother, are headed stateside. They're going to Marysville. I can't make this up. They're going to the town of Marysville in Tennessee. Jeez. And the tentative date for them to arrive in Marysville is October 25th. So I think we're going to have to do one more fundraiser for them with the with the portraits of Louisa and anything else I can find around here.
That's great.
Yeah, you know, to help them with the move. But yeah, it's all good. It's Father Elijah's already there with three priests. Mother will be there, God willing, by the end of October.
Wow.
You know, let them get settled in. I think we're going to have a maybe we'll organize. Yeah, we'll organize perhaps a day when we can all convene, especially those of us that are here stateside, even internationally, if someone would like to come. Actually, I've never been to Tennessee. I've been to so many places. I've never been to Tennessee. I always wanted to. Again, there's a reason now to go. Again, God willing, Mother Gabriel and four sisters, Sister Gloria, Sister Pamela. I forget. She told me. I wrote them down. I don't remember.
Now, are they living in the monastery already? Is it up, the monastery?
No, the monastery's not up. What happened was the gentleman who donated the land and broke the ground for the two monasteries also built a house for himself and his family. Jeez. But he's given the house that he built for himself and his family to Father Elijah and the fathers.
Wow.
So they're going to be, yeah, so they're in the house that this gentleman was supposed to, I mean, that's how much this gentleman lost the divine will.
Wow.
And now they're converting a building which is, I think, attached or semi-attached to the house. I think it's a great outbuilding that they're converting to living space so that the sisters will be, of course, in Marysville, everything is, it's very rural. They'd have to go 45 minutes to Mass. So again, being close to Father Elijah and the fathers, they'll have their daily Mass, they'll have their confession, everything will be right there for them. So that's what they're doing. But the foundations have been poured in both monasteries in Marysville on the 100 acres, the 100 acre woods. Marysville, Tennessee. It's quite expensive there. So this donation of 100 acres must have been enormous. God's like that movie, you know, if you build it, they will come. And
yeah,
they're coming. Mother's coming. So end of October, and let's see if we can schedule something, give them some time to settle in. Maybe we can do a road trip and schedule a weekend in the spring of 2024.
Okay.
Again, if that doesn't happen, we have everything we need right now. Yeah. It just means that we'll have better communication with Mother. We'll be on the same time zone or close to the same time zone. Having them right here is going to be so beautiful.
I wonder if they'll get some more vocations.
That's what they're coming for because there's been quite a bit of activity in the U.S.
With vocations.
It was just easier to do that. It was one of the considerations than having to get visas and go through this COVID lockdowns and things like that. You can't travel. So, but they're still maintaining their Italian presence. So again, it's growing, and I think that's just the fruit will usually dictate whether God is blessing it or not. So we definitely see that that this fruit, this huge fruit, and it's ripening quickly. Yeah, October 25th.
Wonderful. Awesome. Thanks for that good news, Peter.
Yes, we pray for a safe and healthy trip for those four or five. I think it's four. Initially, and then we'll see what that number comes to. And then, like I said, we'll plan. If it doesn't happen, that's okay. We have everything we need already. But if we can, maybe we'll do a springtime trip. We'll let everyone know about it, do a weekend, and maybe we'll let Mother know about it first, right? What do you think?
Yeah, okay.
Imagine we just converge.
I'll show up on her doorstep.
We're here. What's for dinner? That'd be my first question. But we'll do that. Okay. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to read another line out of this book, How Catholics Pray to Mary. And this comes again in the ecumenical movement. It says, okay. At Cana, Our Lady said, "Do whatever he tells you." She told the waiters at the wedding this, and their obedience was rewarded with Christ's first sign, turning water into wine. Christ has not stopped giving such signs, and Mary has not changed her formula. The formula is difficult only because it is so simple. Do whatever he tells you. This is the key to unity because insofar as Christ is the Lord of all Christians, he is like the conductor of a single orchestra. And insofar as Christians believe and obey Mary's message of conversion to Christ, they will play in harmony like the diverse instruments of an orchestra because they follow a single baton." End quote. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Mary. Thanks be to Louisa. Mm-hmm. And to all promoting, working, and living in this beautiful gift of living the divine will. See everyone tomorrow with Father Celso. Well, maybe we'll sing again. We're in like a singing mood. I will sing Welcome Back. We'll sing the Welcome Back Cotter theme to find. I think
everyone's going, "Who's that?"
Yeah, that won't go very well. That won't go very well. But we'll see. But anyway, God bless everyone. Have fun, and we'll see everyone tomorrow morning. If you didn't get an invite, how you connected to this is how you're connecting tomorrow. It's always the same. It's the same meeting ID, the same passcode. So, but if you have any issues, any questions, just send us an email. And looking forward to it. Joan says she'll be there. Great. Okay. Love you, Joan. We'll see everyone there tomorrow.
Okay.
Love
Take
everyone.
Take care. God bless. Bye, Peter. Thanks.
Bye.